الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we are presently passing through what is termed as Ayyamul Hajj, the days of Hajj. As we mentioned previously, whilst it is not conceivable or even probable that every one of us every year would proceed for Hajj, but there are certain asbaq, certain lessons, certain haqaiq, certain realities pertaining to this very fundamental and important fifth pillar of Islam that is relevant not only for the Haji but is relevant for each and every Muslim. Because in reality, as we mentioned previously, ulama ikram mentioned with regards to this journey to Kaabatullah, to Baytullah, whether it is for Hajj or Umrah, they say Sayrul Qulub Ablagh min Sayril Abdan كم من بالغ ببدنه إلى البيت وقلبه منقطع عن رب البيت وكم من قاعد في بيته على فراشه وقلبه متصل بالمحل الأعلى. That more important than the physical journey of Hajj or Umrah or the physical journey towards Kaabatullah is the journey of the heart. This journey of the heart is a journey that is occurring all the time. And we are constantly reminded about it. Every rakat of every salah we are facing towards Kaabatullah. And then the poet laments that unfortunately, how many people there are that physically, bodily have reached the Kaabatullah, even holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba, but their hearts are totally negligent of Allah. And how many there are that are many thousand kilometers away from Kaabatullah, sitting on their beds in their homes, but not for one second is their heart ghafil or negligent of Allah. Qadi Shurayh rahimahullah, many years ago, many centuries ago, he commented on this. And he said, Al-Hujjaj qaleel wal-rukban kathir. That the true hajis are very few. The true hajis are very few. And the travelers are many. This is such a fundamental and unique pillar of Islam. There are certain peculiarities, my respected brothers, that are attached to it that are not found in any of the other pillars of Islam. If you look at Salah, what does Allah say in the Quran? Aqimus Salah, establish Salah. Inna Salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Through this injunction of the Quran, Salah has become farz upon us. Likewise, when it comes to zakat, wa'atu zakah, direct injunction of Quran, zakat is farz. Khud min amwalihim sadaqatan, tutahhiruhum wa tuzakihim biha wa salli alayhim. When it comes to sawm, fasting, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, fasting is farz. Yet when it comes to this amal of hajj, even someone who doesn't understand Arabic will immediately realize the glaring difference. When Allah Ta'ala commands us with Hajj, the entire mode and expression of Quran changes. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. صلاة أقيم الصلاة، زكاة آتوا الزكاة، fast كتب عليكم الصيام. But for Hajj, كتب عليكم الحج. No. أقيم الحج. No. What does Allah say? وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Allah brings His name for salah, for zakat, for fasting. Allah doesn't bring His name. But for Hajj, Allah brings His name. Ulama Ikram give a beautiful explanation. That what does this expression of Quran, Walillah, mean? And Allah says when you come for Hajj, Walillah. One explanation is given if you receive an invitation. And I am digressing at this juncture. My respected brothers, understand. Going for Hajj, going for Umrah, the desire is in the heart of everyone. It is part of Iman, the love for Ka'batullah, the love for the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love for that city in which the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried. This is an integral part of Iman, to desire to visit those places again and again. But we have to understand that what does that visit entail? What is behind it? Is it your financial circumstance? Is it how intelligent you are? Is it your physical or mental or financial ability that is taking you there? When Allah Ta'ala made Hajj farz, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran the verse which I mentioned in the beginning, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. This refers to the period after the reconstruction of Ka'batullah took place. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded by Allah, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Issue the invitation for Hajj. Call the whole world, An-Nas. Call the entire humanity for Hajj. Now understand the dilemma that is facing Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is in Makkah Mukarramah, not Makkah Mukarramah of today, Makkah Mukarramah of 4,000 years ago. There are hardly any inhabitants. Arid desert heat, black mountains in every direction, Jabal Abi Qubais, Jabal Safa, Jabal Marwa, Jabal Umar, whatever name it had at that time. Few people of the Jurhum tribe had settled after Allah Ta'ala miraculously gave Zamzam. But still, sparse population. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded by Allah, call the whole world for Hajj. So it's mentioned in the riwayat, Fasada. He asked the question. First question, what question did he ask? وَمَا يَبْلُغُ صَوْتِي. Now obviously, if he shouts, who's going to listen? The mountains of Makkah? The few inhabitants of the Jurhum tribe? Who is going to hear this invitation? There was no satellite communication at that time. وَمَا يَبْلُغُ صَوْتِي. Ya Allah, how is my voice going to reach? How is this invitation going to reach humanity? Allah Ta'ala says to him, أَذِّنْ وَعَلَيَّ الْبَلَاغُ. Ibrahim, you give the invitation, conveying that invitation, that is my responsibility. Fasaida Jabal Abi Qubais, he climbs onto mountain by the name of Abu Qubais. Those who have been where the king's palace is situated, on that mountain, that is Jabal Abi Qubais. He climbs onto that mountain. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna Allah amarakum bihajji hadhal bayt. O humanity, Allah has commanded you with Hajj of Ka'batullah. Why has Allah commanded you with this? Does Allah benefit from your difficulty? Does Allah benefit from the financial expenditure, from the hardship that this journey will entail? No. Why is Allah commanding you with this visit, with coming for Hajj? Ibrahim alayhi salam spells it out at that time, لِيُثِيبَكُمْ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَيُجِيرَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. Because through this Hajj, Allah wants to reward you with Jannat. And Allah wants to save you from Jahannam. Al-Hajj al-Mabroor. Laysa lahu jazaun illa al-Jannah. My Nabi explained this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Mabroor, Maqbool, accepted Hajj, no other return. But the Haji is a Jannati. So he says, Allah is calling you for this Hajj because Allah wants to give you Jannat, save you from Jahannam. Ibrahim alayhi salam with his normal voice issues this invitation. Allah makes it such that every living person on the surface of the earth, wherever he was, hears the physical voice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Children that are to be born in the wombs of their mothers, they hear the voice. In Alam-e Arwah, the land of the souls, every soul to be born till Qiyamah hears this invitation for Hajj. According to Tawfiq, and this is the point, according to Tawfiq and acceptance from Allah, the reaction to this invitation varied. Some remained silent. Some recited the Labbaik once. Some recited the Labbaik several times. And according to that response, how many times the Labbaik was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it upon himself that when that person comes to the world, wherever he may be, South Africa, America, Europe, Asia, Australia, wherever, whoever, according to the number of times that Allah inspired him to say Labbaik, Allah will take that person to Ka'batullah. Not the accreditation of any organization. Not your means, circumstance. I applied so many years, this and that. That is the process which we will utilize. But that is not the basis by which this journey is undertaken. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar wafdullah. He said, the Haji and Allah's delegation. This is Allah's delegation. These are the people of Allah. تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والنفاق كما تنفي النار خبز الحديد والذهب والفضة وليس للحج المبرور جزاء إلا الجنة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, keep going for Hajj and Umrah. Keep going for Hajj and Umrah, because like fire cleanses gold and steel of rust, going for Hajj and Umrah again and again will cleanse you from nifaq, from hypocrisy. And it will cleanse you from poverty. It will cleanse you from poverty. This defies logic. You are spending to go there. Sometimes astronomical amounts have to be spent. What is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying? The more you spend to go for Hajj and Umrah, this is a protection for your wealth. Allah will protect you from poverty. In that hadith which I mentioned earlier, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who goes for Hajj and Umrah, this is Allah's delegation. The hadith, what does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Yukhlifu alayhim ma anfaqu dirham bi alf alf dirham. Every penny you spend in going to Ka'batullah, every penny you spend on Hajj and Umrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah will give it back to you. Allah will give it back to you. It will be returned back to you. But not according to your shan, according to Allah's shan. For every dirham you spend, Allah will give you back 1 million dirham. I remember a few years ago, I met one brother, pareshan, worried. What was the pareshani? That you know some new increased tax has been introduced for those who want to come from for Umrah or Hajj from India. As is, those people are so poor. Now it has become even more difficult. How are they going to come? And this dilemma was running through my mind. I happened to be in Makkah. It was time of Fajr. Red Fajr Salah, sitting looking at the Kaaba. Elderly old couple come from some village in India. They had a sackcloth with whatever possessions they had. They came up to me. I was a stranger, didn't know me. But they said, listen, we have a request. What is your request? Can we leave our possessions with you? This is all we have. We want to go for tawaf. Keep an eye on it for us so it doesn't disappear. So these two people left, elderly people, old man, old uncle and old auntie. This uncle, his back was bent over. He could barely walk. His possessions was a simple sackcloth in a little bit of clothes and whatever. On the sackcloth written the name of the village in India where he comes from. Forget affording the airfare. Forget affording the traveling expenses. If you look at the possessions of this person, wallah, you'll wonder whether this person has enough for his next meal also. And yet, he is there at Kaabatullah. And not ones and twos like this, by the qasam of my Allah. By the qasam of my Allah, even up till today, no matter what obstacles they are putting, no matter what charges and taxes they are introducing, by the qasam of my Allah, you will see not hundreds, but you will see thousands like this. That you will wonder, how is it even possible for this person to come for Hajj and Umrah? Because Allah again and again is teaching us this sabak and this lesson. The words of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: your accreditation is not from an organization. Your accreditation and your visa is not dependent on any government. Your accreditation is not dependent on how many zeros are in your bank balance. By the qasam of my Allah, your accreditation and acceptance is one thing and one thing only. This is the bulawa and invitation of Allah. It is Allah's house. He is calling there whom He wants. You want to get yourself accepted. You want to get yourself accredited. Accreditation primarily is on that musalla. Accreditation primarily is on the 2 rakat salah. Accreditation primarily is that cry from the heart. That begging and sobbing before Allah. That spiritual journey to Allah, where you are beseeching and begging and asking from Allah. Wallah, that is the means by which Allah will open the way. Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar, wafdullah. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, the Haji, the one who goes for Umrah, this is Allah's delegation. Yu'tihim ma sa'alu. وَيَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُمْ مَا دَعُوا. Not only will Allah pay you back every penny you used to go there. Rasulullah s.a.w. says, whatever you ask from Allah, whatever the haji or the one who goes for Umrah, ask for Allah, Allah will give it to him. Whatever dua he makes, Allah will accept that dua. One sahabi was making tawaf. He was between the Rukn Yamani and the Maqam Ibrahim. He raises his hand in dua. Allahumma ghfir li fulan. Oh Allah, forgive so and so. Rasulullah s.a.w. hears this. So he says to the sahabi, what did you say? He said, Ya Rasulullah, before I went for this journey, and here again I'm digressing, if we are not going this year for whatever reason, at least request the hujjaj to make dua for us. And if we have the ability, give them some hadiah, something to spend on that journey, we will get reward for that. And if we don't have that ability also, prepare some food for the haji who is going. These are all sunnats. If you don't have that ability also, then while the person is away, some difficulty or some responsibility with regards to their children or whatever it may be, take it upon yourself. This is how we will share in this amal of hajj. But in any case, coming back to this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, why did you say this? He says, Ya Rasulullah, when I was leaving for this journey, my brother requested me to make dua for him at this point. Allahumma ghfir li fulan. What is the response? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you are in such a maqam, such a place, Allah has made the maghfirat of your brother. In other words, your brother is a jannati because of this dua that you have made. This is such a place, such a maqam. Someone went to Fuzail bin Ayaz rahimullah, and he said, "Inni uridul Hajj, inni uridul Hajj. I intend performing Hajj. Osini, give me advice." Allahu Akbar. What does he say to him? Two sentences, and it will be impossible on any platform to do justice to this advice. He said two things to him: Shammir izaraka fit talab. Shammir izaraka fit talab. In seeking from Allah to undertake this journey, tie your pants. What does it mean? Exert yourself. Exert yourself. Every moment is precious. Value every moment. And the second thing he said, wanzur, pertinent, more pertinent to what we are discussing. Wanzur ila aina tadhhab wa ila man tadhhab. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَذْهَبْ وَإِلَىٰ مَنْ تَذْهَبْ. It is not because just now is November and December and there's special Umrah fairs, so it's convenient to go for a holiday. That is why we are going. Or because we have the means we are going. No! وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَذْهَبْ وَإِلَىٰ مَنْ تَذْهَبْ. He said, consider and realize, إِلَىٰ, where are you going? Which place is this?
This is that soil which contains the Mubarak footprints of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba walked on this land. Every Nabi of Allah walked on this land. This land took into its depths the tears of millions of the ushaq of Allah. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَذْهَبْ Think, consider, where are you going? You are not going for some holiday. You're not going to fulfill some package. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَذْهَبْ وَإِلَىٰ مَنْ تَذْهَبْ And more important, consider who you are going to. Whose house is this? Coming back to that verse, وَلِلَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ One explanation ulama give. Why does Allah bring His name? Understand it in layman's terms. You get an invitation. So-and-so minister or prime minister or prominent person, you are granted a private audience with him. Or you are given, invited to some function. What is the first consideration and concern? The first consideration and concern is make yourself, prepare yourself beforehand that you are worthy of presenting yourself in that court. Your dressing, your attire, your demeanor, how you conduct yourself, every aspect beforehand you are worried. What you want to stay within the principles of decorum, of what that particular place, what are the requirements beforehand. People worry about this. I don't want to look out of place. I want to be accepted. Walillah. From head to toe, take the thermometer and analyze. Am I worthy of being accepted in that place? Have I made myself such that my coming there will be wanted? And for that, my respected brothers, am I worthy? Is my coming there wanted? There is one criteria only for that. And that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At least, don't take this in the wrong way, my respected brothers. Don't take this in the wrong way. But this is a cry from the heart. At least outwardly. At least outwardly make yourself look such. Make yourself look such that in that Mubarak place you don't have to be introduced. Anyone looking at you will say, this is a Muhammadi. This is a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't let it be that you, never mind the inside. Inside you can still work on. At least outwardly. At least outwardly adorn yourself with the appearance of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have this much consideration for my Nabi when you are going to that place. Whatever action we do, my respected brothers, acceptability of that action, the first criteria is what? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every year, during the days of Hajj, I give this example. By way of reminder for each and every one of us, when it comes to salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Read salah like you see me reading salah. Any action in Allah's court, the first criteria will be how much did you adopt the pattern of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The days of Hajj have come. Many of us have already been for Hajj several times. There are some new Hajis, some that are planning to go, some that have made the application, looking forward, anticipating. If we start from one side of this masjid, these are the days of Hajj. Ask anyone, that useless soccer tournament which just took place, who's going to play in the finals, who won the semi-finals, what the scores were, what the names of the players were, we'll find, particularly our youngsters, will have encyclopedic details about frivolous activities, useless activities. These are the days of Hajj. Every Muslim identifies with the Hajjatul Wada, with the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Scholars of Hadith have devoted their entire lives, made day into night and night into day, gave such qurbani and sacrifice we can't imagine to preserve every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Start from one side of the masjid. Like I said, not yet to run anybody down. But start from one side of the masjid and ask this question. These are the days of Hajj. Every one of us knows of the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many days was his Hajj journey?
When did Rasulullah SAW leave Medina Munawwara? How long did it take him to reach Makkah? What did he do when he reached Makkah? Give me some details of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Illa mashallah, my respected brothers, majority of us will have absolutely no idea whatsoever. That itself is not the tragedy. That itself, the tragedy is that there is no remorse. There is no desire within us also. And yet just a glimpse. Jummah time is very limited. Just a glimpse. The extent of detail that is found. It was the 25th of Zulqa'dah. It was a Saturday. At the time of Zuhr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up in Masjid al-Nabawi. He made the announcement that he is proceeding for Hajj. He gave a basic outline of the manasik of Hajj. The Salat of Zuhr was performed, accompanied at that time with 12,000 Sahaba. The numbers increased as the news spread. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Medina Munawwara. He appointed as Amir of Medina Munawwara in his absence Abu Dujana Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He appointed to look after his Qurbani animals Najia bin Jundub Aslami radiallahu ta'ala anhu. By the time it was Asr, they had reached Bir Ali or Zul Hulayfa, which is about 5 miles or kilometers outside Medina Munawwara. Jibreel came down and said that, Ya Rasulullah, Allah is commanding you to spend the night here because this is a Mubarak night and a Mubarak place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 5 salah duration at Zul Hulayfa. Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr and Zuhr. Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at Zul Hulayfa she gave birth to a child, a male child. The name was kept Muhammad. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed her to tie the ihram, but to make tawaf only after she becomes pure. The next day after Fajr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made ghusl. Those days there was no soap and detergents, but to create the effect of soap and detergent in the water which he used for his ghusl, 2 leaves were used. Their names are mentioned, Ushnan and Khitmi. After performing ghusl, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tied the ihram. The cloth of his ihram came from Sahara, which used to be in Yemen, today is in Muscat. That detail is also given to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manner in which he washed his hair whilst he made ghusl, he passed his finger through the hair. At that time the hair was long. After washing the hair, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied oil on the hair. After applying oil, he applied honey to the hair. In those days, the desert dwellers used to use honey so that the hair does not become too disheveled. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied itar. The name of the itar is found in the riwayat also. He applied the itar in the crown of on his head. He applied the itar on his body. He did not apply the itar on the cloth of the ihram. By the time the salah of Zuhr came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his Zuhr salah. Then he mounted the camel. The name is also found in the riwayat. Qaswa. He faced Qibla and he said, Labbaik, Hajjatan Allahumma Labbaik. Thereafter, they traveled 16 miles to the next stop, which was Malal. Then they traveled another distance till Roha. In Roha, there is a well in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 17 Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam drank from the water of this well. Like this, my respected brothers, this is just a glimpse. Just a glimpse, the first starting point of the journey of the Hajjatul Wada of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want acceptance in Allah's court. The criteria for that acceptance is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those that are going for Hajj, we beg you, we beseech you, anoint your Hajj with Sunnah. Anoint your Hajj, beautify your Hajj, give your Hajj, cause your Hajj to get acceptance in Allah's eyes by following the Sunnah of my Habibi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Coming back to the verse of the Quran, Walillah, one interpretation. Whose court are you going? Prepare yourself so that your coming is accepted in that court. A more beautiful interpretation. A more beautiful interpretation, ulama ikram give, of this expression, Walillah. When Allah speaks of Hajj, Allah says, Walillah. They say, what does this mean? Understand it like this. If you ask someone, where are you going by? He's going for Hajj, he says, I'm going for Hajj. Technically, that answer is incorrect. Where are you going? Walillah! Walillah! I am going to meet my Allah.
I am going to meet my Allah. This is that journey. This is why every aspect of this journey of Hajj reminds you of that point when you have to stand in front of Allah on the plains of Hashar. Take off your clothes of the dunya. What is that reminding you? Reminding you of that time when the clothes of this world will be stripped from you. Get ready to go on a journey. What journey? The journey to Akhirat. When you are going on this journey to Akhirat, possessions of this world will be minimum. Prepare yourself to leave behind your valuable and your precious possessions of this world. Then you will make ghusl. What is that ghusl? On the one hand, you are bathing yourself, purifying yourself of every haram, of every wrong that you used to do in this world, that used to distance you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when you are putting that ihram on, remind yourself of the prohibition of ihram. Why you are making a covenant with Allah, that going forward, Ya Allah, I'm coming to meet you. Whatever haram I was doing in my life, today I am making tawbah from that. Thereafter, read 2 rakat salah. What is that 2 rakat salah? The salatul janazah that will be read over you. That is that 2 rakat salah. Like Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, mutu qabla antamutu. Die before you have to die. Die before you have to die. What does that mean? Kill this nafs. This nafs that is distancing you from Allah. That haram that is distancing you from Allah. Put the sword to it. Before you undertake this momentous journey, each aspect of this journey is reminding you of that. That is why Malik bin Dinar, rahimahullah, he reaches the miqat. People are tying their ihram. There is one youngster. There is one youngster, he is hesitating. He is engaged in dua. What is his dua? Ya man yasurruhu ta'at, wa la tadurruhu al-ma'asi, habli ma yasurruk, waghfir li ma la yadurruk. He says, oh my Allah, when I obey you, you become happy. When I disobey you, all my sins can never harm you. Oh my Allah, grant me that which makes you happy. And forgive me that which cannot harm you. Others are reciting, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Ma min muslimin yulabbi. Illa labba man an yameenihi wa man an shimalihi. Min hajarin wa madarin. Hatta yanqati al-ard min hauna ila hauna. O kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is such an effective call. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the haji says, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Every stone, every pebble, every lump of clay, every grain of sand till the ends of the earth recite the labbaik. One occasion, Sahaba were on Hajj with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were reciting labbaik. Jibreel comes down. Inna Allah amarakum. Allah has sent me that command your Sahaba. Command your Sahaba and tarfa'u aswatahum bil talbiya. That let them raise their voices in calling out the labbaik. This is a shiar and a symbol of Islam. People are reciting the labbaik. This youngster is remaining silent. Malik bin Dinar says to him, why do you not read the labbaik? He says, Malik, a life of disobedience, a heart that is blackened with looking at haram and listening to haram, a soul that is soiled and polluted with the love and immersement of this dunya, a legacy of that, and for 1 second it does not give you pause to consider that you are going to shout, I am coming, I am coming. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And from that side the response will be, la labbaik. Your coming is not wanted, you are not desired here. Don't you have this worry? Malik bin Dinar says, I didn't see this youngster up till the 10th. Of Zulhijjah, the day of Mina. Other people were making qurbani. This youngster was sitting on one side of the field in Mina and crying. I approached him and I heard him saying, Ya Allah, Allahumma, Inna al-Nas qad dhabahu wa taqarrabu ilay. Oh Allah, the other people have made qurbani and they have gained your nearness, your qurb. Wa laysa li shay'un ataqarrabuhu biha ilayk siwa nafsi. Ya Allah, I am penniless. I don't even own a qurbani animal. I have nothing to sacrifice to gain your closeness besides my own soul and my life.
فَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي. Ya Allah, accept my life. Accept my life. This youngster says this, and Malik bin Dinar says, فَخَرَّ مَيِّتًا. He falls down dead on the spot. Like the poet says, إِلَيْكَ قَصْدِي. إِلَيْكَ قَصْدِي رَبَّ الْبَيْتِ وَالْحِجْرِ فَأَنْتَ سُؤَلِي مِنْ حَجِّي وَمِنْ عُمْرِي وَفِيكَ سَعِي وَتَطْوَافِي وَمُزْدَلِفِي وَالْهَدْيُ نَفْسِي الَّذِي يُغْنِي عَنِ الْجَزَرِي. He says, O my Allah, O the Rabb of Kaabatullah, Kaabatullah is not the goal. Safa and Marwa is not the goal. Mina and Arafah is not the goal. إِلَيْكَ قَصْدِي. Ya Allah, you are the goal. Your love, your ta'alluq, your nuraniyat to enter my heart. And oh my Allah, the qurbani animal is not actually that qurbani animal. The qurbani animal is my nafs. That my entire life has invited me towards haram. Today in your name, Ya Allah, I don't need a knife to slaughter this animal. Ya Allah, today I make this niyat and this ahad, then I am passing the knife over my nafs. That is, I am making tawbah from a life of disobedience and doing those actions which used to distance me from you. Like ulama-i kiram say, one is the physical Kaabatullah in Makkah Mukarramah. Allah, take us again and again. And Allah, make our going there worthy such that our coming there is desired. That is, one is the physical Kaabatullah and the other is another Kaabatullah. Another Kaabatullah that is situated between the ribs of every one of us. They say more important than that Kaabatullah is to make this Kaabatullah Nurani. Make this Kaabatullah Nurani. Cleanse this Kaabatullah. Fill this heart with Allah's love, Allah's Noor and Allah's Marifat. And this Noor will permeate throughout the entire world. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhidah.